One of the most widely shared pieces on Hacker News today is an essay called "Good Tools Are Invisible," which has pulled in over 200 comments. The core argument is that the best tools disappear. They don't demand your attention. They don't get in your way. They extend your capabilities without requiring you to think about the tool itself. The author is making this case in the context of programming language and editor design, but the principle is broader.
What strikes me about the engagement this piece is getting is how much it resonates with the HN crowd's frustration with modern development tooling. There's a pervasive sense that a lot of tools have moved in the opposite direction, toward complexity, toward requiring you to understand the tool deeply, just to use it for basic tasks, toward demanding configuration that absorbs time and attention. The invisible tools thesis is partly aesthetic and partly functional. A tool that disappears lets you think about your actual problem, not the tool.
This connects interestingly to the SCARF postmortem on 7 years of Haskell in production. Avi, the founder of SCARF, wrote a genuinely honest and painful account of why they've moved away from Haskell after nearly a decade. SCARF is a developer analytics company. They help open source projects understand how their software is being downloaded and used. They adopted Haskell early because of its strong type system, correctness guarantees, and expressiveness. 7 years later, they've reluctantly migrated away.
The reasons he gives are worth taking seriously because they come from real production experience, not theoretical criticism. Hiring is extremely difficult. The pool of experienced Haskell engineers is small, and training new engineers takes longer because the language has a steeper learning curve than most alternatives. The tooling ecosystem, while improving, is still more fragile than what you get with something like Rust or Go. And perhaps most telling, when things go wrong in production, debugging Haskell can be genuinely hard because the runtime behavior can be unintuitive, particularly around lazy evaluation and memory usage.
The HN comments are a fascinating split between people who've had similar experiences and people who push back on specific points. Several Haskell advocates argue that the problems Avi describes are real but solvable, and that the language's benefits, fewer entire classes of bugs, more maintainable code under refactoring, outweigh the costs for the right team. Others note that language choice is fundamentally a team and hiring decision, not just a technical one, and that Haskell's small talent pool is a structural constraint that doesn't go away no matter how good the language is.
What I take from this is that good tools are invisible, and the Haskell postmortem are actually in tension with each other in an interesting way. Haskell is, in some respects, an extremely powerful tool. It catches errors at compile time that other languages wouldn't catch until production. But it's not invisible. It demands that you think about it constantly, learn its specific way of doing things, and navigate its ecosystem carefully. That's a real cost, even if the benefits are real too.
On a completely different end of the spectrum, there's the Calibri project, a ShowHN entry that's generated 860 points and over 200 comments, which is substantial engagement for a personal project. The creator, who goes by VugJ on GitHub, has built a system for running GLM 5.2 on slow hardware. GLM, the ChatGLM family of models from Tsinghua University, is a capable large language model, and getting it to run usably on underpowered machines requires serious optimization work.
This kind of project matters for reasons beyond the technical cleverness. If capable, AI models can run on commodity hardware, older laptops, small servers, single-board computers, then access to AI capabilities doesn't require cloud subscriptions or expensive GPU hardware. That's a genuine democratization story. The HN community has a strong contingent of people who care deeply about running things locally, both for privacy reasons and for the satisfaction of understanding and controlling what's running on their own machines.
There's also Pgrust passing 100% of PostgreSQL's regression tests, which deserves acknowledgement, even though the HN score is low because it was just posted. This is a Rust implementation of PostgreSQL that has achieved full compatibility with the original test suite. Re-implementing a system as complex and battle-tested as PostgreSQL in a memory-safe language is a significant engineering undertaking. The regression test suite is exhaustive. It covers edge cases that took PostgreSQL's developers decades to identify and address, Passing all of them in a re-implementation suggests a level of careful engineering that the community will be watching closely.
And Odori, the Python library for image and geometry processing, now has tutorials, which sounds minor, but is actually important for open source project adoption. The quality and accessibility of documentation is consistently one of the biggest barriers to adoption for technically sound projects. Good tutorials lower the activation energy for potential contributors and users.